Good morning and welcome to the Sunday school class this morning. We are on the book of Jonah. We are now in lesson 3. The title of this lesson is A Common Rebellion. It's natural for us to rebel. So it's in Jonah. We see, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Father, as we start this lesson 3, A Common Rebellion. Father, help us to see what you have for us, Lord. How Jonah made mistakes, how we make mistakes, how we can correct them, Lord, that we can walk right with you and then do your will, Lord. Be with us this morning. Be with Michelle. Be with Mike and Agnes, Lord, as they'll be bringing the message also for the junior church. Father, be with all of us, and thank you for allowing us to be here. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us have a weak and sinful nature, a sinful flesh. Okay, but at the same time, we also can yield our lives to the Holy Spirit and have God's power working in and through us as a result. Yeah, we do have a weak and sinful nature because we were born in this sinful and flesh and this nature, but we also have the power to be, as God's people, to be guided through the Holy Spirit. And even a person that is not saved, the Lord will convict and convince him or her to seek a better life. Okay? Just like you and me, somebody talked to us, our conscience, somebody who talked to us, and it stays right here, and then we were convicted, and one day we turned our lives back in the right way, where we should have been in the first place. One of the reasons Jonah is such a popular character in the Bible is that while we hate to admit it, we can see our lives in his life. In other words, Jonah is a mirror. We look at Jonah, we could blame, but you know what? There's some characteristics of Jonah that apply to our lives. So, it says, therefore, we need to learn from Jonah's mistakes and take a different course of action in our lives. We sinned, but what is it that he did right so that we can follow in his footsteps? Okay? We can't say, well, I've already sinned, I failed the Lord. How many times have we failed the Lord over and over as children of God, yet the Holy Spirit as a gentleman, you're wrong, come back. And he guides us back. Satan, on the other hand, gets a hammer and you're no good for nothing, but it's a lie. And again, we have no business answering the enemy. We have a Savior, and when I sin, I ask him to forgive me, and he puts me back in track, and I keep on going. This is our lives, okay? So we'll see an attempt to flee, okay, an attempt to flee, and we'll see it right here. Hold on. Got sidetracked it here, but it says we all. Oh, I'm sorry. I did my notes here and then here, and now I'm going back and forth saying the same thing. So now we find ourselves an attempt to flee. When we make excuses as children of God, we'll make excuses because we don't want to go do a certain thing that the Lord tells us to do. Okay? In verse 3, it states that Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And an honest confession is not our first thought when we sin. Our flesh wants to find an excuse or an escape. We hope that there will be no ramification to our disobedience. But such is never the case. And then someone said, sin, and look at this, sin is the world's best detective. You know why? It always finds you out. Our sins will find you out. Let's go to the book of Numbers. Numbers 32 and 23. It's talking about another thing, but I'm going to focus on what we're talking about. It's 32:23. It says, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sins will find you out. When the Lord gives us a job to do and we run away from it. So this is why I'm saying we hate to admit, but we have some characteristics that Jonah had. And so your sins, if we disobey, our sins will find us out. Okay? Now, we go to Genesis. Genesis 3, 7, and 8. It says, speaking about Adam and Eve, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig trees together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Look at their first reaction of Adam and Eve. Was to run from the presence of God. But you know what? Man has been running from the presence of the Lord ever since. We've been running. We know, especially when we were young, or even you know that you're not supposed to be doing something that's wrong. But you know what? That sinful nature that we have, if we let it be controlled by the enemy, he will control us. But the Holy Spirit will always knock at our hearts. Yeah. Go back. Okay? So we need, but man has been running from God. I ran from the Lord for a long time. Until I had to take my little white flag and said, I surrender, Lord. Yeah, we have to. And so now the Lord can work with us once we surrender. But we think that's the life that we have before we came to the Lord. But sometimes, as children of God, we put our cowboy hat and our buckle belt and our boots, and I'm going to do what I want to. And the Lord goes, okay, go ahead. And when you need help, just call me, and I'll be able to help you. There's this old lady and this old guy was driving. And when they were young, he would always open the door. He still opened the door for her. And as they're driving, the lady told him, they were now full of age, "Honey, I remember when you and I, we used to drive, and I was always next to you. And look at where I am now." He said, "I haven't moved." She's the one that moves. So sometimes, you know what, the Lord is always there. And we feel left out, but it's not that the Lord has, he's still there. It's just that we got away from the Lord. So we need to get back to the Lord. "Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you." That's what it is, okay? Jonah had gotten away. And so when we get do an attempt to run from the Lord, there'll be a human inclination. If things will go south. Everything, when we get away from the Lord, things will start going downhill. Let's look at, okay, we just read Genesis 7 to 8. And then we'll have, can you run from the Lord and hide from the Lord? Is there a special place where you can run from the Lord? So we're looking at a hopeless impossibility, okay? And we will go to 5. Jeremiah, let's look what Jeremiah 23:24 asks. He says, he's asking a question. In Jeremiah 23:24, it says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Says the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth? Says the Lord. Where can we hide from the Lord? We can't. And let me get David. David in Psalm 139, 7 through 12. Again, bear with me. I will be reading it. I didn't write it down. But it's Psalm 139, 7 through 12. Again, he's saying the same thing that Jeremiah was saying. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me." Again, we hide in the darkness. Okay? "Even the night shall be light about me." I'm sorry. "Even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee." Okay? We hear the expression, all of us maybe went through that. "When I'm 18, I'm going to do what I want to. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there." It's a common rebellion that, see, you did everything for your son and daughter, and instead of them sometimes appreciate it, at that time they're not going to see that. They're seeing that you're holding me hostage. But it's not that. It's that you want the best for them. And they can't see that. Where can a teenager go? "Well, I'm going to move to another city. I'm going to move to another state." Or what planet can that teenager go where God is not already there? He can't. But now we see the prodigal son. The prodigal son had everything. But because, Dad, you're always telling me what to do, what not. And his dad was very kind and he had everything. But now it goes in our minds that when I'm 18, the grass is going to be better on the other side. And yeah, it's good when you turn 18, 20, whatever you want to be. But once you go out, and it's good to know that you can support yourself out there. But that doesn't mean you forget your mom, your dad. You don't forget God. You don't forget him. But because now you're in a hurry, that prodigal son had rules in his father's house. And he found out, he thought, the further away I get from my dad, I don't have to listen to those rules that he had for me. But guess what? When he was way out there, he found out that the same rules that applied at his house applied over there. God had not left him. God was still working in his life. Just like when you and I rebel against God and we, the devil again, God doesn't like you no more. Oh, yes, he does. He died for me. And I praise the Lord. Okay? But that's what we do. We run away. Because it's a common rebellion that we have. That's our nature, to run. When we do something wrong, you don't step up. Oh, it was me, I did it. No, we try to hide and we try to look around, see who we can blame. But the Holy Spirit gets us back and say, it was you. And I'm not condemning you, but I do expect for you to be responsible for what you did. And I'll forgive you, but I'm not gonna forgive you, not that I can't, if you really haven't repented. You need to repent, and I'm gonna see that you're gonna see by the way you're gonna start acting. And it takes us into another direction, okay? This is what happens. So now we go into, we're hopeless because we can't hide from God. But when we try to make an excuse, we see here an alternative is found. And it says here, or when we try to flee, it says, and he, in the middle of verse 3, we read these words. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. See, Satan will make sure that there's always a ship going in the opposite direction of God's will in your life. He'll always make sure that, well, you don't have to do that. There's always an alternative. And because the flesh kicks in and because we don't want to do it, well, it's not too bad and we go that direction. We saw Jonah doing that. There's many other prophets that the Lord's going to use. Why me, Lord? Because I'm sending you. Because I know that you are my child and you'll do a good job. But when we are rebellious, we don't feel that way. Okay? So, he makes sure that there are lots of choices besides that of obedience. And amazingly, we often find it so coincident that there is an alternative to do right. We can spiritualize the seemingly open door that lies before us. We can say, well, you know what? And try to use a verse of why you don't want to go do what you're being told to do. And again, we try to get you look for a verse, just like I said the last time, that man that said, it's all right to drink because it says right there, say, drink a little bit of wine. And so we try to make an excuse. Okay, and so the Holy Spirit will say, that's not what I'm saying. I'm doing it for his health, not for the wrong. So, but when we find an alternative, when we're not walking right with the Lord as God's children, we'll always look for those that scratch our ears and scratch our backs. And, oh, I like this. I like you. Pastor Cook, you didn't scratch my back the way I wanted to. So, no. See, no, we can't be doing that. Okay? And this is what, when we find an alternative. And so now, what was Eve's response? Eve reasoned that this forbidden tree, look at what she says. She's a child of God and says, was good. It was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye. Sin sometimes seems very pleasant. And us as men, you know what? I'm about to turn 65 and I keep my guard up because you see, especially in summer here, women do not leave any imagination to the eye. They're almost nude. And our flesh, we need to be very careful and say, Lord, help me to enjoy the fellowship and the life that you gave me with my wife. But Satan said, yeah, I know, but no. We need to be very careful with the flesh. It's pleasant to the eye, isn't it? Yes. And we can't sometimes say, no, it's, I don't get scared, but I know where I stand. And if I have to run like Joseph, I'll run. But if you and I start lingering like Lot, what is that? And the angels are going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. And they grab Lot by the hand, and Lot is still looking. They dragged him out, okay? And as he took him, the Bible says, as he lingered. No, if we expect to prosper in the way, in the way and will of the Lord, we need to turn completely because God's going to turn us into a pillar of salt. And I don't want to be turned into a pillar of salt. Okay, I want to be useful for the Lord. Okay, so now it says, and a tree to be desired and to make one wise. What happened again to Lot? He lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou goest to Zoar. Okay? Look at, remember Achan? When they told him to go destroy that village because again of their wickedness. And look at what Achan says. In Joshua 7:21, he said, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. As Christians, we need to be very careful where we go, what we're seeing, what we're doing. We need to be very careful, especially now. You know what? I like watching TV. Me and my wife will call it movie night on Fridays, and we'll sit down and make some popcorn. Sometimes we order pizza and wings or whatever, and then we put it on Hallmark channels and real nice movies. And my wife's over there, and I'm over here, and I go, and she goes, and we enjoy watching movies together. But also, we need to be watching what we're seeing, because now even in Hallmark movies, they're going south. There's things that are not right. And so we just turn the TV off, or we'll put it in another channel, and we'll pray. Who do you have in mind to pray? We'll pray for that person. And she'll open her Bible, I'll open mine, and we'll read the Bible. But I enjoy that. When the enemy, he'll always out there, he will always put something in your eye. so that you could covet it. And then a lot of time that will take you away. I'm going to go a little bit off. This man, when we were pastoring at Faith Baptist, he wouldn't come to church. He said, I don't have a car. And my wife and I sat down and said, well, you know what? Is that what's keeping you? Yes. Well, isn't that something that your wife shows up and you don't? And, oh, yeah, but I have to be doing this. So we prayed for him. You know what happened? Following week, he came with a brand new canary yellow truck, real nice. Look what the Lord gave me. And so we were glad. Now you can bring your family in a nice AC and good tires. And good for you. We were all happy. Following week, he wasn't there. What happened? Following week, 2 weeks, he wasn't there. So we got a hold of him. What's going on? So, well, brother, I now have to work, so I can't go to church. So I need to pay for my truck. See? And so my wife said, well, my wife, be careful with my wife. She said, my goodness. My wife said, this is what she said. She said, well, you know what? If that's the case, I'm going to pray that the Lord takes that truck away from you so that you can come back to church. And the following week, he was there. And he says, pray for me because my truck burned. It caught on fire, something wrong, and the truck burned. And I told my wife, my goodness, I better keep an eye on you. But she, my wife said, I'm going to pray that the Lord takes that truck away from you so that you can be in church. And was it a coincidence? I don't know. I don't think so. But sometimes the Lord has to take something that we think that is of value, but having a vehicle is a good thing. But when you have a vehicle and now you don't come to church because you have to make a payment, something's wrong. But it was amazing how it happened. So this is where we need to be very careful. Where was I on? Okay, Satan. Satan's alternatives are always attractive, for it is his goal to be the perfect counterfeit of Christ. Isn't he counterfeit money? You can't tell the difference, but it's counterfeit, okay? Paul warns us about Satan's tactics also in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. It says, For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So now, because when we do that, we fall into an obstinate decision, okay? And we're going to stop there. An obstinate, to stubbornly refuse to do what we are told to do. That's when we make an obstinate decision. And this is where we're going to stop, and we'll take off I'm on point 7 here. So an obstinate decision, and I hope that we can see ourselves in the mirror of Jonah and see what he did wrong and what he did right. You get in the mirror, and there's a little hair. Those of you that have hair, there's a hair sticking out there, and so you comb it up, and the shirt is crooked, so you straighten it out, and then you go. The book of Jonah is a mirror to us to see the defects that he had, the defects that we have, and then to straighten it out so that we can get right with the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you, Father, for this lesson 3. a common rebellion, and it's in a human nature to act like we do. But Father, greater are you that are in us than he that is in the world. Father, may we learn from the book of Jonah, and even though it was many, many years ago, you are still speaking to us through the book of Jonah and how we rebel because of our flesh, but because of your Holy Spirit, Father, you give us a second opportunity to do what we need to do in our lives. So help us, Lord, that we may say, as Psalm 1 says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsels of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he make day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. His lip also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. May be we that man, Lord, that walk in that direction. Be with us, Lord. Be with Pastor Cook this morning. Prepare his mind, his lips, his thoughts. And may you open our eyes, our hearts, Lord, our ears, that we may be attentive to what you have given him to give us, Lord. Be with Michelle and all the Sunday school teachers. Be with your people here and those that do not know you. Father, may you lead them into the road of salvation. Father, it's good to have John's son here, and may he enjoy the rest of this day with us here. In Christ's name, we thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you.